It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC, airing in the New York, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at mybradio.com and, of course, on the 77 WABC app. Yes, week in and week out, we come in the top 10 of New York AM radio. We thank you for that. We know this week's a little more challenging with the Super Bowl playing. Congratulations. But those of you that are here committed thick and thin, we appreciate your patronage of this show. As you know, every single week we interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business insights into so many professions and categories, including sales, social media, emerging technologies. We're going to talk about that tonight. Communications, financial planning, marketing and advertising, time management, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Well, as we do each week, a couple of thank yous. I want to thank my colleagues here at Bottom Line Marketing Group who help out with a great behind-the-scenes role. Srilly, Eliana, Miriam, Dina, thank you. And a special thank you to the great folks at 77 WABC. James, Matt, Chris, Lexi, Justin, thank you. Also, a special shout out to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. The B-Tank magazine column recently featured my interview with Michael Houlihan, founder of Barefoot Winery, Bruce Katz, CEO of Samuel Hubbard, Rachel Krause, VP of Marketing at Westfield World Trade Center. Also, a special shout out to C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV, the OG Podcast Network, Player.fm, iTunes, YouTube. All episodes, including tonight's, will be available at mybradio.com. mybradio.com. That's where you can pick up the interview I had with Dick Schulz, founder and chairman emeritus of Best Buy, Shep Hyken, Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie, so many other fantastic C-level executives and guests, all available by going to mybradio.com. Well, tonight's guest, what a special treat. Teen Zua. He's the CEO and founder of Zura, an enterprise software company that creates and provides software for businesses to launch and manage their subscription-based services. Teen was named Entrepreneur of the Year by Ernst & Young in 2016, and he has a best-selling book, Subscribed, Why the Subscription Model Will Be Your Company's Future and What to Do About It. Therefore, stay tuned for tonight's edition where we will discuss the subscription-based business. Many of you in the audience are familiar. Many are not. You'll hear all about it. And we're going to talk about trends in the industry. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome. Teen Zua, thank you so much for joining me here on Mind Your Business.
Thanks, Yitzhak. Really good to be here.
Thank you. Now, I mean, you got some backgrounds. You know, number 11 Salesforce, you're CEO and founder of this real, you know, dynamic and, of course, I wouldn't say challenger brand because by now you're really established, but when you enter the space, you really, I mean, trendsetter is really an understatement. Talk about your journey, please.
Well, my journey, my journey actually just started, I think, a few blocks away from where you're recording right now.
Hey, Brooklyn, man. I love it.
Oh, yeah, see if the Brooklyn accent comes back a little bit here, but I actually grew up in the Flatbush area.
Hey, give him a hand, folks. Give him a hand.
That's right. And so, yeah, too bad I could have walked over to my old place.
That's
but,
right.
But the 70s and 80s, you know, just probably a classic immigrant New York upbringing in Brooklyn over there. But I'd say, you know, I'm part of a generation that grew up playing, discovering personal computers, right? When the IBM PC, the Commodore 64, all those things came out. You know,
Atari.
I was a teenager in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
the Ataris, yep, the good old days. Yeah. And I really fell in love with computers, really fell in love with technology, and really specifically software. And when I was a teenager, there in Brooklyn, my dad's insurance broker actually needed a system to track, you know, just basic finances and expenses. And I wound up building one for them and, you know, made some money on the side and fell in love with this thing called software, enterprise software, business applications. And I've really spent the last, you know, 25, 30 years of my career and doing that. And that's really what brought me from New York, from Brooklyn to Silicon Valley. Mm-hmm. So I did come to Silicon Valley 20 years ago to be part of the software industry. Right. In New York, I worked for Oracle, which was a leader of the software industry at the time.
Right.
In Silicon Valley, I wound up working for Salesforce.com for Mark Benioff, who's pretty well known by now.
Sure.
And then started Zuora just about 11 years ago. And that's the journey.
Mm. So let's talk about, your years at Oracle, Salesforce. How did that help shape you as the visionary leader that you are today?
Well, obviously, as a kid, teenager, building applications, I found and enjoyed that. But Oracle was the first real company that I worked at coming out of school. I wanted to come back to New York. I wanted to be in a role that allowed me to be at different companies. And so I joined the consulting arm of Oracle and wound up building systems, right, for companies like back then New York Telephone, mm-hmm. right, which is now part of Verizon.
Right.
New York Life, and all sorts of different companies.
Right.
And it really taught me of why technology is changing our world. And then we certainly feel this, right, in our personal lives. But I got exposed really to how technology was transforming how companies operated themselves, right? And it helped them be more efficient. It helped them reinvent themselves. It helped them compete. And that chasing of understanding, well, how can technology do even better and better is really what brought me to Salesforce. I mean, it was 1999. The internet was starting to be right. used. And just to kind of put this in time and place, nobody had Wi-Fi in their homes.
Right.
It's called Black Monday because you wanted to get back to work
right.
for high speed connection,
right.
right? In order to get online, right.
right?
To do work. There's no Wi-Fi in hotels,
right?
Right. And so, but we can see, the early folks that joined Salesforce and when I joined, there was no office yet, right? It was really early. It was just an idea
right.
in Mark's head with him and a few of his co-founders back then. But you can see that this internet was going to change the world. And that's what gets me excited, right? What gets me excited about technology is the idea that it has the potential to change big, big parts of our lives. And at Salesforce, we spent 9 years there really understanding what does it mean to be an enterprise software, to be a business applications company now that there's this thing called the internet. And it was just an incredible experience.
Mm. So let's jump to Zuora. It's the leading subscription economy, software as a service, right? SaaS provider. Can you please explain what a subscription-based business is, especially for those that just have not wrapped their head around this concept?
Well, yeah. Talking about technology, right? And you, I think just the Brooklyn thing is bring me back. When I used to be growing up in New York, people didn't really understand the technology industry. Yeah. Now it's a big part of our lives.
Right.
But what we did at Salesforce just went beyond the technology. We basically said, yes, there's this new technology model where you shouldn't have to buy softwares and servers and disk drives and have a big IT room in your office just to do the work that you needed to do. You can just point your phone or your browser on the web and use Salesforce, Google, Workday, these amazing applications.
Right.
We said just as important to this new technology model was a new business model, right? And these two things had to go side by side. And whenever Mark Benioff talks about Salesforce's success, he always talks about these two models. And that business model was what we called a pay-as-you-go model. This idea that, look, if I'm not going to sell you a piece of product for you to deal with, I'm going to provide it to you as a service, then you should really subscribe to the service. And you should really pay based on how much you used, right? How many months you used, how many users you have, how many transactions you did. And so we call this a subscription-based business model is what we called it. And so we spent 9 years at Salesforce trying to figure out how this new subscription-based business model was going to transform software. And we're sitting here in 2018 now, 20 years right. or 2019.
Right, right.
Because Salesforce is coming up on its 20th birthday, I think, in a couple months. And everybody gets it now, right, that software should be – you should subscribe to software. You subscribe to Adobe. You subscribe to Microsoft Office. You subscribe to Salesforce. But our leap 10 years ago when we started Zuora was, what if every industry – right. What if every industry went down this route? And we looked at it and says, well, there's a lot of people that aren't buying DVDs anymore. And this is before this whole video streaming thing, and Netflix right. was a DVD company. But they had a different business model. You say, just pay us $20 a month. You can have access to any DVD you wanted. Right? And you could just see there was millions of people that said, well, why should I ever buy a DVD ever again?
That's right.
And we looked at a company called Zipcar.
Right.
Which is getting some great traction. Yeah, this is before Uber, this is before Lyft, and we understand all these things now. But back then, you had to buy a car. But New Yorkers, San Francisco, right, you know, people, they didn't buy cars, but they all subscribed to Zipcar because occasionally you wanted access to a car, and so you wanted to be able to subscribe to a service that allows you to drive around and then just pay based on how many miles you drove. So we said, look, transportation, entertainment, it clearly happened as software. We believe that the whole world is going to go this way. And what we've seen in the last 10 years is this is exactly what happened, right? You and I, you know, we don't have to own things anymore. We don't have to own a car. We have all these transportation services because it was never about the car. It was always about getting from point A to point B. It was never about buying a DVD. It was always about getting some entertainment, right, in your house and watching some good shows. But you're seeing this apply to clothes. You're seeing this apply to financial services, to food. Really, we believe that all sectors of our lives will be transformed, and we call this the end of ownership. We call this the subscription economy, and this is what's happening in our world today, right now.
Love it. And I'm pointing to one of the quotes that you're known for, the end of ownership, the rise of usership. Folks, my guest this evening is Tien Zuo. Yes, he is the founder and CEO at Zuora. When we come back after the commercial break, we're going to continue to discuss the different industries that are affected by this. Tien said that all are. I want to continue that discussion. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Okay, so you're considering a comprehensive medical exam, but you haven't decided where. At Elytra Health in New York City, we know you have a tight schedule and that you only want the best. We also know you have choices to consider. Well, consider that you could have a world-class executive longevity exam at Elytra's state-of-the-art Manhattan Center for Life and Longevity, right in downtown New York City. Think about the fact that the experts at Elytra Health are a hand-selected staff with more than 30 years of experience in executive exams and concierge medicine, and that top doctors in the area refer their patients to Elytra. Something else to weigh is that cardiac imaging, cancer screening, labs, and all other testing is completed in a single five-hour visit with white-glove service. Plus, you'll receive the results, advice, and follow-up coordination before you leave. Finally, consider how easy it is to get peace of mind from an Elytra exam now by visiting ElytraHealth.com. That's E-L-I-T-R-A Health.com. Elytra Health. Well, above all.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. Thank you for joining me on this night, Super Bowl night. So therefore, yeah, it is the diehards we have in here. And we didn't let you down. We got a superstar, Tien Zuo, the CEO and founder of Zuora. Thank you for joining me here on Mind Your Business. What a treat.
Yeah, great to be here.
Thank you. Thank you, Tien. Well, before the break, we discussed the idea that you actually said that, you know, every industry is going to be affected and has the possibility to scale by converting to a subscription economy. Is it okay to challenge you on that? I mean, food. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, okay, I'm ready. Any industry?
Food.
Yeah, food. I don't know what I'm going to eat tomorrow. How does that work?
Well, we're seeing a lot of innovation in food. You certainly saw Blue Apron that went to market, built an incredible user base, right, and took the company public. They certainly ran into some challenges, and I think it gets into the nature of food. The great thing about food is we need food every day, right? We need food every day, and so it's a great opportunity for somebody to say, look, if I can satisfy your food needs, I can offer to you an ongoing basis. And this is the essence of a subscription economy, right? This idea that says, my relationship with you is not based on one-time sales where you buy a product and then I got to get you to buy the next product, but I'm actually taking over or providing value in a whole part of your life, whether it's food or health or transportation, entertainment. And so we're seeing innovations where you know, a company like HelloFresh or Munchery or these companies will say, look, you can actually plan out your whole meal for the entire week, and we'll make sure it gets delivered to you. Maybe Monday night you've got the kids at home. Maybe Tuesday you're going to eat alone. Maybe Wednesday you're going to eat at work. But what if you can just map the whole thing out? It actually knows, you know, how many calories it is, what your health requirements are, and have food that's customized to your specific needs as if you had a personal chef. And we're seeing a number of startups really operate in this environment. In fact, we sell to these subscription businesses.
Right.
And so if you look at our customer base, it winds up being reflective of the subscription economy. And because the subscription economy did start in tech, about half our revenue comes from technology companies. But we've got food companies. We've got industrial companies like Caterpillar and Komatsu. We have six of the top 10 car manufacturers trying to figure out what the subscription car really, really means. We've got membership organizations like YMCA. We've got utilities, financial services, media companies like The Wall Street Journal and HBO. And so you can really see the subscription economy taking over more and more every part of our lives.
So fascinating. So if it's okay, I'm even going to ask you about some of the clients that you list on Zora. Fender, right?
Yeah.
Okay. How does that make sense? How does that work in a subscription-based economy?
Well, we had a chance to have the CEO of Fender come speak at one of our events. Mm-hmm. The book is called Subscribed. Our events are called Subscribed, and we try to share these stories. This is actually a story from the book. And Andy came over from Disney, took over the company, and said, well, we sell guitars.
Right.
Now, how do we grow revenues?
Right.
And the traditional way would be, well, sell more guitars.
Right.
And how do you sell more guitars? Well, you sell it down on Guitar Center on 34th Street, right by the Empire State Building. And how do we get guitar centers to sell more guitars? Or how do we find other places, like online places, other retailers to sell more guitars?
Right.
And Andy said, look, what if we looked at this in a completely different way? Why don't we look at it from the customer's point of view? Let's look at our customers. And so they started looking at their customers and they started to realize, well, who are they? How often do they buy a guitar and what's going on? And the good news was half of the guitar purchasers were from first time guitar buyers. Right? So a lot of new people coming into the market,
right.
You know, kids, teenagers,
right.
Who knows?
Right.
Right. But the bad news is after 3 months, they give up. Right, they buy a guitar, they try it for 3 months, and then it just sits there in the garage, in the attic, in the closet, and they never use it again.
Yeah.
And so, of course, they're losing all these customers.
Right, right.
But then they found another amazing stat.
Okay.
If they're playing by month 12, they play for life. Right, they play for life, and that's when they buy more guitars, more amps, more picks, right, because it becomes a part of their lives, and they really, really enjoy it. And so when you look at it this way, the answer becomes clear. You know, it's not about selling more guitars. It's about getting our customers over the hump, right? Because what they really want is it's not about the guitar. It's about wanting to be a musician. It's about wanting to be a rock star. So they say, well, what are we going to do about this, right? And so let's launch a set of digital technologies, right? One of the hard parts about playing the guitar is tuning the guitar. Well, let's launch Fender Play, this little app. It's free. You download it. But we can actually see these people that buy a guitar. Do they activate Fender Tune? Are they using it? And we can actually see some stats of usage. And then, well, what's the hump? It's just too hard. Well, let's actually launch Fender Play. So instead of paying, I don't know what it is, $60, $7,500 for somebody to come to your house and spend an hour teaching you how to play a guitar, you pay $20 a month, and there's these online courses with these incredibly produced videos that teach you how to play a guitar. And then these guys aren't teaching you how to play like Mary Had a Little Lamb. They go right to your favorite rocks. They go right to U2. They go right to Bob Marley. Right? There's lots of songs that you can just play if you just learn one chord, just strumming one chord and singing along. And what they can see is, oh, you know what? You haven't logged into Fender Play to take a lesson. Well, let's push, right? Based on what you liked before, let's push, you know, a song with the guitar lick that's at your level to encourage you to go back. And they're seeing the results. They're seeing that the people that log on to Fender Play, more of them, they power through that month 3, they power through that month 12. They're getting more customers to become the first-time buyers, to become musicians. And of course, that's naturally going to lead to more guitar sales, and that's how they're going to grow their revenues.
Fascinating. If I could still turn to another two in the somewhat auto, Ford is in the auto, Ford, GM, and Caterpillar. How do those, I mean, I know you touched on Zipcar earlier, but how does that factor into the subscription economy?
Well, people ask us, you know, why do you have six of the top 10 auto manufacturers in the world as customers, right? I get technology, I get media, the story's good, but what's going on? Yeah, but what's going on with cars?
Exactly.
And I think, yeah, I think what the car companies are, and the story there is simple. It's Uber, right? There's a big disruption going on in the industry. There's another looming disruption, which is self-driving cars. And I don't know, you know, if it's 3 years, 10 years, 20 years, but it's out there. It's out there.
Right.
And so people are saying, clearly, you and I, we're going to buy less and less cars, right? The first time you use Uber, the second time you use Uber, you realize, you know, my need for that car had just got reduced.
Yeah.
Why should I have to worry about, like, how many miles the car has on it? Where is it parked? When does the garage close?
Right,
and
team,
gas in the tank,
team,
right?
Don't forget Flatbush, no parking, right?
No parking, right? Is it alternate side parking? Is it Wednesday? Is it Thursday, right? All those New Yorker things. Why should I have to deal with that? I just want to get from point A to point B. And so the car manufacturers are realizing, you know, we're going to be selling less and less cars 10 years from now.
Right.
But every car coming off the assembly line is going to have all these sensors, is going to have an internet connection, 3G, 4G, whatever.
Right.
And companies like, firms like McKinsey are saying there's $1.5 trillion of connected car revenues out there for somebody to go get, right? Because once the car is connected, you can sell services. Now, what services? Well, we'll see, right? Is it transportation services? Is it parking services? Is it maintenance services? Maybe it's lease services. And you can see that there's all these revenue streams. And so every one of these car companies has a connected car initiative, right, tied to the fact that every car, if you buy a car today, it's connected to the internet. And they're all experimenting with all these different things because they know that there's vast new revenue streams. So maybe they'll sell us cars, but they will more than make it up through these connected car services. And then one day when the car is self-driving, you just want to subscribe to the whole car. It'll be an easy, easy thing for them to do.
Fascinating. Fascinating. And Caterpillar?
Very similar story, but just on an industrial scale. Caterpillar has been outfitting all their, they call them assets. So what's an asset? It's a tractor.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mining vehicle.
Right.
It's an excavator. It's an engine.
Right.
They've got about, you know, 2 million of these in the field.
Right.
And today, and they started, you know, when they started, a couple hundred thousand of them were connected to the internet with sensors. And now I think over half of them are doing so. And they woke up saying, you know, it's the same thing. There's all these things that we can now do now that our trucks are smart trucks, right? We can sell predictive maintenance applications where the truck will actually say, you know, I need to be serviced now. And you can come do it proactively versus waiting for me to break. And now it takes 2 weeks to send somebody with the right parts, right, to fix the thing, right? This is lost revenue to these companies.
Right.
Or safety applications where these cars, you know, these trucks, because these are massive machines, can detect when there's somebody behind them, right, because of RFID chips and actually stop the machine from running over the person. Or even these self completely autonomous systems where you're saying, look, I just got a, maybe it's a golf course and I need to do some landscaping. And I can send out the aerial drones to map it, the whole area. I can beam all that information down to a CAD tool, right? Design it all, then beam it to these automated excavators that are using GPS to do like precision excavation. And you know what? You don't have to worry about buying the tractor. You just pay me based on metric tons of earth moved, right? It's an amazing story. It's all coming. It's all possible today. And it really shows you when companies change their thinking and saying, you know, it's not about the product. It's about what the customer is really trying to do, right? It's not about the car. It's about getting from point A to point B. It's not about the DVD. It's about the entertainment. It's not about the software. It's about doing work. There's a whole way of rethinking your business. And this is what's happening in every single company across the world today.
Folks, the subscription economy, digital transformation, the end of ownership, the rise of usership. Yep, my guest this evening is Tien Tzuo. He is the CEO and founder of Zura, and he wrote the book, the bestseller, Subscribed, Why the Subscription Model Will Be Your Company's Future and What to Do About It. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
Hey, Joe, give me a minute. I'm going to run the numbers and circle back next week. Post it on Facebook, LinkedIn. Just get it up there.
You're great at what you do, and you're busier than ever. We get that. Imagine if you could devote every minute of your day to running your business and taking it to the next level. Enter Bottom Line Marketing Group. Bottom Line Marketing Group focuses on making your company look great so you can focus on growing your business. To see some award-winning projects produced by Bottom Line Marketing Group, visit www.bottomlinemg.com. That's www.bottomlinemg.com. Or call CEO Yitzhak Saflis on his direct line for a free consultation at 718-412-3505. That's 718-412-3505. Bottom Line Marketing Group. Marketing solutions to grow your bottom line.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC. Thank you for joining us here on Super Bowl evening. So it's the diehards that are with us. But hey, we're not letting you down. Teen Zua is our guest this evening. He has multiple accolades. He is the founder and CEO of Zura. And he wrote the book, Subscribed, Why the Subscription Model Will Be Your Company's Future and What to Do About It. Yep, the end of ownership, the rise of usership. So, Teen, I'm going to turn technology, right? It's always improving. How has the advancement of technology continued to help Zura scale?
Well, one of the reasons I fell in love with the high-tech industry, right, growing up as a boy from Brooklyn, if you will, right?
Yep.
You can take the boy out of Brooklyn. You can't take Brooklyn out of the boy. Is the focus on the future, is the constant reinvention. And so, we've scaled our business. I started this company 11 years ago with a little bit of venture back money and some investment from my old boss, Mark Benioff, the founder and CEO of Salesforce. Mm-hmm. And we've been fortunate enough over the last 10, 11 years to scale to be a $200 million plus company. And it actually took the company public on the New York Stock Exchange.
Nice.
Last April. And so it's been an amazing journey
Mazel tov.
From Brooklyn.
Yeah. As we say here in Brooklyn.
That's right.
Nice. Now, okay, you talked in the beginning of the show about your journey, and this is an interesting question,
yeah.
But you obviously were in a sales role. I shouldn't say obviously. Am I correct in that? Were you in a sales role back in Salesforce or Oracle?
In Oracle. This would have been in the 90s. They're in New York. For the the Midtown folks,
right.
It was a lipstick building. I worked at a lipstick building on 53rd Street.
Sure.
Selling database software.
Got you. And then a marketing executive at Salesforce, right?
Yeah.
Excellent.
That's right.
And then, of course, to launching this challenger. Well, back then it was a challenger brand. Obviously, at this point, people are like, "Whoa, this guy's everyone out there in the world." is interacting, unless they're living under a rock. I mean, you have some of those. But in general, whether it's... by the way, is it considered a subscription-based model, even, let's say, an Uber, where it's not timed, but it's rather based on usage? Is it both usage and fixed?
It could be anything. And the key for subscriptions is don't think about it as $10 a month, right? Don't think about it as a lease. Think about it as a completely different business model that's not selling product cars, but mm-hmm. providing a service. And so Uber is absolutely a subscription service, right? They have your ID. You pull it out. You use your Uber ID to get from point A to point B. They've
right.
got your credit card. They've chosen to price or monetize, or a fancy word for pricing,
right.
their service right now, primarily based on per rides, right? But even then, it's how many minutes, is
right.
what type of car, was it surge pricing or not? But you can see that both them and Lyft are experimenting. So right. Amazon eventually did Amazon Prime. Right. Lyft, I think, has a $399 monthly plan now that gets you two rides a day, you know, obviously targeted at commuters.
Right.
You know, Uber is starting to do with rewards and loyalty points. And so once you have the customer relationship and it's a service, there's all sorts of ways that you can play with pricing and packaging, usage-based models, recurring models to really find the right balance for your business.
Hmm. Yeah, what were the early days like as a technical founder raising capital? You talked about, you know, VCs and even Mark Benioff investing. You know, perhaps you could just shed some light. We have a lot of small business owners in the audience that are scaling. What's it like working with VCs and trying to secure VC money?
Well, the early days, certainly building the company, it's like any early stage company, right? You just got a bunch of folks sitting around the table in the room,
right?
And a lot of hustle, right? A lot of hustle, a lot of elbow grease. You're working long hours building the product. You're trying to scramble to meet customer deadlines. Right. You're trying to get the next customer, and it's certainly like anything else. And looking back, you know, those were the good old fun days.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure they were always fun when you're going through it. you know, there is a difference between the VC backed money. Yeah. The back company is capital.
Right.
And so we were fortunate enough to be able to raise capital. And so we were never short on money. Right. So for small business owners, my dad, you know, was a small business owner there in Brooklyn.
Right.
You know, you got to manage the big picture. You got to manage your cash. But it's not like we were living paycheck to paycheck, and that's one of the advantages of having a company that's venture backed. But I'd say the other big aspect though for tech companies is the pace of growth. Right, once you do have venture capital money, you're expected to grow at 30, 50, 100, 200% year over year. And when you're in that accelerated growth environment, your company really changes. The feel and nature of the company changes. One day you're 20 people, the next day you're 60, right? One day you got 10 customers, the next day you got 100 customers. And so this idea of constant reinvention of who you are as a leader and who the company is really needed. And that's something, I mean, I had the fortune for working for one of the greatest entrepreneurs, Mark Benioff, and what I saw in him was this constant reinvention of both himself and the company. And it's something that we brought into Salesforce. And it's really helped us, as into Zuora, and it's really helped us, you know, build the company to be a public company that it is today.
Mm. You've been quoted to discuss the three rooms framework. Perhaps you can explain what that is.
Well, we think a lot about how to build a startup, right? A tech startup, a fast growth company, if you will.
Right.
And so the reinvention concept is really important. We segment, you know, phases of companies into ones and threes. And so what you're supposed to focus on is the company going from zero to $1 million of annual revenue to one to three to three to 10 to 10 to 30 and on is very different. The other thing that we do is we come up with a three room framework, right? Mm-hmm. Which is meant to basically say, look, you know, most, you know, founders, startup business owners, small business owners really understand their product.
Mm-hmm.
They can talk all day about their product, right, and why their product is better.
Right.
The more sophisticated folks, right, can know how to talk about the customer. Like before you talk about the product, you talk about the customer, right? Talk about the customer, talk about what the customer pain points are,
right.
And then you bring your product into the equation. But the superpower is actually talking about the market, right? Talking about the world and talking about the market. And so we said, you know, let's look at storytelling. You know, what do your company represents? What do you do in terms of three rooms so we can separate these things? And the goal is to basically say, okay, you're walking somebody through the story of who you are and what you do,
mm-hmm.
and you want to walk them through three rooms. And the third room is your product. But before you get to the third room, you got to get to the second room. In the second room, you talk about customers, right? The customer pain that you solve. But don't forget the first room. And the first room is about the market and what is different in the world today that even makes you relevant. And this is why we spend so much time talking about this bigger idea that transcends us, right? About a subscription economy and how it's impacting all, you know, you and I in our personal lives. You can see it in your credit card statement. You
right.
can see it on your phone.
Right.
But it's also how transforming how companies need to operate, because that story is really, really, really important, because that explains the why. This is the why we exist. This is the why we built our product. This is the why that's relevant to all of us, including all the listeners of your show. And so this three-room framework is something we talk a lot about in terms of effective storytelling for all companies about who exactly they are and what they do.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Let's move along to the book. Subscribe. Tell us a little bit about it. Who published it? You know, when did it go onto your brain's radar screen? They're like, hey, you know what? I'm going to share the secrets. I'm going to write about it. When did that all happen?
Well, you know, when you have this three-room framework, you spend a lot of time in room one, and you can see we obsess about talking about, well, what is this thing called a subscription economy?
Right.
And we learned that the best way to tell these stories is actually through the stories of the companies going through the transformations, right? The Fender story, the Caterpillar story, the Ford story, some of the stuff that we talked about today. And then we also just get a bunch of folks coming to us and says, look, we love your company. We love your technology. We want to use your software product, but can you help us think about what we should be doing in the subscription economy? And so Gabe and I have been, you know, writing together for the company, short articles. We publish it in different places, blog posts. And over 4 years, we've collected this set of stories. And so about a year and a half ago, we said, look, we really should write a book, right? We should turn these things into a book. And we searched around for some inspiration points, and Malcolm Gladwell's, you know, books, The Tipping Point was our mental model, right? It's just a fantastic book, and all his books are great.
Sure.
They're great stories. You remember them. You understand them. You know, you draw things about your personal lives that are important. Right. So we said, let's take this book and then let's these stories and let's write it into a book, right? Let's take our experiences of the last 11 years in not just our story, but the stories of our customers and how they're playing out the different industries and how it's transforming how they actually operate, right? How it's completely changed how they build their innovations, how they go to market, how they sell, even their financial models, right? Told through the stories of Netflix, the stories of Adobe, the stories of Fender. And we published it. We wrote it, and it's been it's a hard process writing a book.
Right.
Certainly a lot of hours.
Yeah.
But we were able to get the book published last June, and it's been a fantastic bestseller and a big hit.
Let's go back to the early days of Zora. Now we're not focusing on, we discuss VC and other very important matters. But the idea, did you run into, let's say, opposition like, no one's going to buy it, you know, almost like what Henry Ford ran into,
course.
You know? Yeah,
of course.
You know, they've been riding horses for ages, you know? They're not going to switch to cars.
Oh, for years and years. And for years and years, there were people like, this idea of not owning anything, that's ridiculous. Why would I subscribe to clothes? Why would I subscribe to a car? I want to own the car.
Right.
Why would I subscribe to Spotify? I want to own the songs. I mean, when I subscribe to Apple Music, I still noticed that my wife kept on buying songs. I was like, well, what are you doing? It's free as part of the service. And so it takes time to change habits. But that's the work, right? The work is to find a space that you believe in, and then slowly do the work to convince others that of what you see.
So fantastic. So fantastic. I mean, you know, now that when people look at it, they're like, oh, yeah, duh. You know, this is, of course, the way it's going. But like from the early days, I just, you know, even want to hold on to that. Maybe even you have a story or some type of encounter that comes to mind where like you knew how right you are. You were seeing the future. But to the person on the other side of the table, they're like, teen, you're dreaming.
Well, I mean, certainly, some of the VCs were like this, right? In order to build these companies, you do multiple rounds of fundraising. I think we did six rounds of fundraising plus the IPO at the end. And every step of the way, it's helping people understand the story. Look, I take it differently, right? I like it when I'm talking to somebody and they're skeptical. And, you know, you journalists tend to be the most skeptical types, right? And I love talking to a journalist. And saying, okay, well, what about my story didn't resonate? What is the thing that you're still skeptical about? What is the objection? And then I can go away and think about that, right? How do I sort of overcome your objection, right? And so objections such as, well, isn't there going to be subscription fatigue if you're subscribing to too many things? Well, look, I remember the day where I only had three channels on my TV. I remember the day when I only had 200 channels on my cable provider. Right. And now I log into Netflix and there's like a million things to watch. Right. And so there's complexities, but I think ultimately people want choice. People want freedom. The more choices, the better. Right. And so just things like that are things to work through. And so I think the skeptics are actually really, really good for us to engage with. And it challenges us to really think things through.
Amazing. Just amazing. Folks, thank you for joining us here on Super Bowl Sunday. You know, it's the diehards are with us, but we didn't let you down. Teen Zoo, we still have around another 15 minutes to go on this fantastic show. My guest this evening is none other than the author of Subscribed, Why the Subscription Model Will Be Your Company's Future and What to Do About It. And of course, he's also the founder and CEO of Zora. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
So recently, a healthy couple in their mid-50s came into Alitra Health for their longevity exam. They were not expecting particularly to find anything wrong on the assessment, but the exam showed otherwise.
Dr. Avi Nemitz is medical director at Alitra Health's Manhattan Center for Life and Longevity.
So they go through a very complete evaluation, blood work, scanning of the coronary arteries, stress tests, evaluation by nutritionists and exercise physiologists. We sit down at the end of the day, and his whole world changed in that moment.
Alitra Health provides a full, in-depth, comprehensive longevity exam to detect problems before they occur.
Without an intervention, he was going to have an active cardiac problem. So I told him, look, you're going to be fine. He left with a lot of confidence, knowing exactly what he was supposed to do. We understood what he had, and now he's going to be able to deal with it.
Why spend time worrying when Alitra Health in Manhattan can provide you with a complete snapshot of your health today? Visit AlitraHealth.com. That's E-L-I-T-R-A Health.com. Alitra Center for Life and Longevity. Because nothing matters if you don't have your health.
Finally, a payroll service that does things your way. At Brands Paycheck, you're not a number, you're a partner. Brands Paycheck's personalized payroll solutions ensure that your business receives your financial information the way you want it. From complete payroll services and time tracking to benefits administration and HR solutions, Brands Paycheck helps streamline your business's payroll process and maximize productivity. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation. Brands Paycheck services a wide range of industries nationwide, including hospitality, transportation, B2B, B2C, nonprofit, finance, retail, healthcare, real estate, and more. Learn why companies nationwide rely on Brands Paycheck. Call 888-757-3020. That's 888-757-3020 to schedule a free consultation today or visit online at BrandsPaycheck.com. That's BrandsPaycheck.com.
Missed an episode of Mind Your Business? We've got you covered. Check out our YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, to hear interviews with business executives and thought leaders whenever and wherever you want. That's Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at mybradio.com, mybradio.com, and of course, on the 77 WABC app. Well, my guest this evening, Teen Zura, has been, I'm starting to drink the Kool-Aid here. And folks, you know, till today, MYB Radio has been free. Maybe that ought to change. I'm thinking out loud. We're on the air, but
maybe.
Hey, Teen, you know, it just take a look at Zura and you see this. You know how many companies, certainly in the journalistic and in terms of the publishing field, and I mean I would imagine you also have television, podcasts, radio. In fact, maybe before I even go back to my other questions, maybe you could even share some of that. Just a perspective on that.
Well, we see the whole world going this way. In turn, the media companies have gone this way as well. If you just whether it's music, it's radio, it's podcasts, it's print, it's TV. You're just looking at newspapers. I mean, people forget just 5-6 years ago, everybody was thinking that firms like the New York Times were going to go out of business. Right? Advertising revenue was plummeting.
That's right.
People were canceling their print subscriptions. People were never going to pay for content online, and it turned out not to be true. It turned out that the New York Times has an incredible brand. So does the Wall Street Journal, right? So does the FT. So does the Economist.
Right.
And people were willing to pay, and people understood the importance of journalism, and so when they all decided to focus on building subscription businesses, that's when they became healthy. And today, the New York Times, I think they've gone from only a third of their revenue being subscriptions to 2/3 of their revenue being subscriptions. And their growth company once again, and so you're really seeing the story play out, and that's the lesson, that's the key lesson, right? And you talked about your show, the New York Times today now knows who their subscribers are and what they read,
right,
and what they prefer, and I could see they're curating things for me, right? And I just added the New York Times crosswords puzzles because they knew I was playing with the crossword puzzles, and they got me to subscribe and upgrade my plans. So imagine if you knew who every one of your readers were, because I'm sure they love you. They love the show. They love the brand.
Thank you.
Right? But then you have a one-on-one engagement with them, right, as part of a service. And then you'll figure out the ways to monetize that. But that's how to think in the subscription economy. Start with the customer and not with the product.
Now, is there a certain threshold? And I'm sure you get this question, of course, from companies that are generating content. Let's say only 100 people sign up. Let's say only 300 people sign up.
Well, you know, what we found is if you've got an amazing brand and a loyal following, and your show certainly has that, everybody that flips the switch has found that their subscription, their sign-ups, if you will, their acquisition, has far exceeded their expectations, because you have a built-in loyal set of customers that care about the show, care about the content, right, that enjoy listening to it, and they are your customers. They are your customers already. And so I don't think there's a threshold. I think this is the essence of business, of building relationships with your customers.
Fantastic. Well, I hope I'm not going to put you on the spot with this one. I mean, you're a visionary guy. Born and bred in Brooklyn. You know, so I guess anything goes.
That's right.
Anything goes. What's your vision for the subscription economy 10 years out, 20 years out?
Well, we couldn't be more excited about the future. And, you can see it. And once you see it, people are like, oh, wow, isn't it here already? No, we are still in the early innings. I mean, being Super Bowl, Sunday, we're in the early minutes of the first quarter, right? We're in the first kickoff.
Right.
The subscription economy, the software industry, Salesforce.com was founded in 1999. We're sitting here in 2019,
right.
And even though we know that all software should be sold as a subscription, still there's a lot of software sold in the traditional way, because transformations and company transformations and industry transformations take time.
Right.
We know that we don't need a car, that we'll simply be subscribing to a car. But is that 5 years out, 10 years out, 15 years out? In the meantime, GM is still going to sell a lot of cars. Ford is still going to sell a lot of cars. And then there's more changes. This whole Internet of Things, right? The reason why cars are now smart cars, and then the reason if you buy an appliance, a washing machine, a dishwasher, chances are it's a smart washing machine and it's connected to the Internet, and you can play with it and control it from your app, right? This is called the Internet of Things revolution. There's a whole next wave of physical, like non-electronic products, tables, floors, chairs. They're going to all have sensors. They're all going to be collecting data. And so there's a whole wave of innovation that's yet to hit. So if you think the world has changed so much in just the last 10 years, wait till you see the next 10 years. And so we are in the early, early stages. And it's hard to imagine what our lives are going to be like 20, 30 years from now. But we truly believe that it's going to be, a world of services that we tap into to meet, all our needs. And this idea of owning a product, buying a product, right, more laptops, more pens, more cars that ultimately just sit in the landfill,
right,
that world is going to be a thing of the past.
Teen, wow. We only have around 7-8 minutes left. And, of course, your brain is the subscription economy. But just because of where you are, your company is closing in on $250 million in value. Perhaps you could share also some important general information. I'm going to actually ask you now about what would you say is the most important ingredient to be successful in business?
The most important ingredient, I'd say two things, right? I'd say you got to pick your space. I think there was a study that said some professor tracked all their students over a 20-year history and try to figure out, look, what was it intelligence? Was it test scores? Was it attendance? Was it participation? And it turned out the most important thing determinant for success was the industry they picked, right? And so you got to pick a space that you love. You got to pick a space that's growing, right? And, we chose enterprise software. We chose technology, but specifically we chose enterprise software, and it's something we're dedicated to. And the other thing then is grit. Right. It takes time to work these things out. Yes, we went public last year. It's been a great journey. But I think back about the moments in year one, year three, year five, where, we probably stood at death's door and or was facing down what looked like an intractable problem. And you've got to have tenacity and grit to work through these things, right? And maybe that's where the Brooklyn background really, really helps. but you got a last man standing, right? You got to outlast your problems.
Yeah.
And hopefully at that point, at the finish line, you look back and you're proud of the successes that you've created.
Yeah. I have a quote that I love saying, and it really applies here. And as you know, day one will always be day one. Make day one today. Meaning when you jumped in,
that's right,
and you ran through all types of challenges, but hey, if you didn't jump in, you kept on punting. I'm sorry to use the pun tonight, Super Bowl night. But if you keep on punting that opportunity down the road, you just at some point either you're going to jump in or not. So jump in right away.
Jump in and stick with it.
Yeah, and stick with it. We're going to move to communication. Communication is no question is a vital key to running any successful business. What are your top recommendations to other entrepreneurs on how they could be communicating better?
Well, communication is obviously really important. I mean, we're probably, well north of 1,000 employees at this point.
Nice.
And the challenge of a leader is how do you keep 1,000 people all on the same page?
Right.
But I'll simplify communication down. I think the word communication maybe clouds thing. I keep it simple. It's just storytelling, right? It's the same thing you do with your kids. It's the same thing you do with others. But people like to tell stories, the stories that are compelling, propagate. And so how do you tell the story of your company, the story of the industry, right? And we do a lot of that. And look, there's somebody that said if you look at all the movies in the world, there's probably only 5 or 6 plots. But that doesn't mean there's not great movies. And so there's always ways to bring out the story. I like telling the story through the stories of our customers, right? Because that's where, that's our focus is making them successful.
Of course.
And those are easy stories to tell others. And they're fascinating. They're inspiring stories. But that is what we do. The story of how to build a startup from the ground up to $1 billion in revenue and the story of transformation, one company at a time, in the subscription economy, and you just learn to do that over and over and over again.
You could describe the aha moment. What was that moment when you really conceived Zora and like all your experience in the background with the sales and marketing and like, this is it. I know exactly what I'm doing for life. It's Zora. What was that aha moment? When was it?
Well, you try to take your past experiences and you bring them to the future. That aha moment for Zora was actually when I was at Salesforce.com. And there was a meeting between, Mark Benioff and one of the co-founders of a company called WebEx. They're mm-hmm. now part of Cisco, and they're another right. fantastic software as a service success story at the time. Sure. And the two were meeting, and I was in the meeting, and my Zora co-founder was in the meeting as well from the WebEx side.
Right.
And the meeting was to talk about some new idea that the WebEx co-founder had, but we spent probably 45 minutes just complaining about our billing system. and we were facing out a multi-million-dollar investment with yet again building our damn billing system, which like didn't handle Japan. And it didn't handle like these change orders, these customers coming back and saying, can I have one more user, can I have two more users. And it was just this money pit. And we found out that WebEx had the same exact problem, the same exact experience. They had 35 people working on their system. It didn't do what they wanted. And so that's when it clicked, right? That's when it clicked that says, look, if there's two companies here that are having this problem, all companies must have this problem.
Right.
And this thing about the subscription business model, all companies should be doing it. And that's when we got excited, right? That's where the vision clicked together. And we said, we got to go do this thing. We got to go start a company. Mark, bless his heart, was highly supportive and actually was one of our initial angel investors. But this is the magic of Silicon Valley of people giving back.
Right.
And we had the opportunity. We had the opportunity to set going with our idea, keep at it. And 11 years later, here we are, public company on the New York Stock Exchange.
Unreal. By the way, for companies that are interested in pursuing this, following up, is there like an initial roadmap or an initial tutorial that they could watch to see if it makes sense? Well, I shouldn't say makes sense. It makes sense for everyone. That we learned during the show. But to understand how they could wrap their head around it and to see if, if they should be embarking on this path.
Well, we have an amazing amount of resources, obviously, on our corporate website, www.zuora.com.
Right.
Two more ideas for you. One is if you just Google the words subscription economy, right, you can go down a lot of different threads to really learn. But the third thing that I would recommend is the book. This is why we wrote the book.
Right.
We wrote the book with a set of inspirational stories and a roadmap. The first half of the book talks about how every industry is being transformed. But the second half of the book is actually a blueprint. It's a blueprint for marketing. It's a blueprint for your research and development arm. It's a blueprint for sales. It's a blueprint for your CFO. And it's a blueprint for the CEO and the COO. And hopefully the book will set you on a journey to be an incredible success story in the subscription economy.
Teen, I can't thank you enough for joining me here on Mind Your Business. Your schedule is obviously very hectic. What final takeaways could you share with the listeners of Mind Your Business?
Well, I know, you're a nationwide broadcast, but you have a New York skew.
Yep.
And so here's a shout out to New York and to my home borough of Brooklyn.
Beautiful.
And I would say, look, yeah, if an immigrant kid who grew up in Brooklyn can sit on the podium of the New York Stock Exchange one day, everybody can do. So I encourage your listeners to really embrace the spirit of entrepreneurism and go build a fantastic business.
Unreal. Teen Zhu here on Mind Your Business. Well, that wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business. Tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.